This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up. The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Welcome to the Mom Room Podcast. My name is Renee Rina, and I am definitely the mom friend you have always wanted.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Thursday's solo episode. I am recording this from our Airbnb, which happens to be in a condo building that we used to live in. So a few years ago, my husband was working in Victoria, and I was done all my courses for school. So I packed up all my shit and I was like, yeah, I would like to live in Victoria too. So I worked from here doing school stuff. I'm still sick. Can you tell? I probably sound like a frog. Anyways, so we lived here for like a year and a half or 2 years, and it was the most magical place in the world. I love it so much. I have never been one to be like, I don't get attached to apartments or places that I live. But when we left Victoria, we drove down to the oceanfront and I just like cried on a bench, like, because I love it here. The food, the restaurants, the vibe, the people, the grocery stores, like everything is just right up my alley. I love it all. So the condo building that we lived in is right near the harbor. So that's where, like, it's really touristy in the summer, but it's kind of nice because it keeps all these amazing restaurants open and all these little shops. So it's great. And like the ferries come in and I just love it so much. And I feel like Victoria is a place in Canada that not a lot of people would think to visit because it's kind of hard to get here. It's not, you can't drive here from Vancouver. You have to get on a ferry or fly. But if you can, like, definitely make it out here. It's just so lovely. I have realized that taking Milo places that I used to enjoy as a person that didn't have a child is a little bit difficult because you have these expectations that you're going to go and enjoy it in the same way that you did as a person that doesn't have a child. And that's not the case because he is moody and he doesn't want to walk and he wants a snack. And it's just like, he doesn't really care, you know, about these things. Whereas I build up these expectations in my head, like, oh my God, we're going to go here. And I loved going here so much. I can't wait to bring Milo. And then we get there and he like doesn't care and wants a happy meal. You know what I mean? So anywho, we've had two moments since we've been in Victoria where he has had little meltdowns. And I don't know if traveling is just a lot for kids at that age and they need time to just chill. Because as adults, we're like go, go, go nonstop. But yeah, so this afternoon we dropped him off at the condo with my mother-in-law and they played and did their own stuff while my husband and I walked around downtown, went for lunch. Sorry guys. At my favorite restaurant here, which is called Rebar. Anyways, that's where we're at for travels. So yes, I still have a cough. Milo has had some meltdowns. I feel like when people travel, because I am a consumer of social media to some extent, I feel like you see people traveling and you're like, oh my God, like their trip looks so perfect with their children. Because, and like, fair enough, like it's hard to capture. For example, yesterday when Milo was having his major meltdown in the condo, for like a half hour, it's not like I was taking out my phone to capture the moment. But at least I try and talk about it, because oftentimes people don't even share about those things. And then, so you're like, does everybody else 100% enjoy their vacations and their trips with their young kids? And we don't. Like, are my kids the only ones that are having meltdowns and are not happy when you're taking them on these like gorgeous trips? So no, I'm pretty sure it's every child that has difficulties with travel. And so, yeah, but anywho, I met some people who follow me on social media or who listen to the podcast. And that's always so exciting, especially when I feel like lots of people, listen or follow me if they're in the Toronto area. But yeah, it's exciting when you like go across the country. One girl, she stopped next to us at a red light and she like rolled down her window and she was like, I listened to your podcast. And I was like, oh my God, stop. So my husband thinks I'm famous. He always calls people like, oh, you're fans. And I'm like, oh my God, shut up. But it's fun. Actually, one time somebody recognized my husband. He was on his like lunch hour at work and he went to Winners, which is like a TJ Maxx in Canada. And someone was like, somebody stopped him and was like, are you like the mom room's husband? Like, not to be creepy. And my husband's like, oh my God. So he gets it too. So that's exciting for him. Yeah, something else I wanted to talk about, my stupid ass cough. Really annoying, especially post pandemic and COVID, because you feel like you can't have a cough. So many people probably have chronic coughs, like if you have allergy problems and you have post nasal drip, which Milo does a lot. I don't know if he has allergies yet, but he often has a post nasal drip cough. So yeah, like my husband's like, yeah, let's go for dinner. Let's go do this. Let's go do this. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, first of all, I start coughing when I talk. So unless you want to sit there in silence, I don't really want to. And people are going to look at me like I'm crazy for going to sit at a restaurant or a bar and just like hacking my face off. So today I think I'm a little bit better, knock on wood, like seriously. So we are going to try and go for dinner and then go to the comedy show that my husband bought tickets to. So fingers crossed. I was like, did we get seats that are on the aisle of the walkway? Because if I feel like I'm going to have a coughing attack, like I need to exit the building immediately. Because how uncomfortable is it to cough in public? Especially if it's not just like, you know, a one-off cough here and there, which is what I have all day. That's fine. But it's like the aggressive, like, I have a coughing problem. It's just very uncomfortable. So I have been surviving on Buckley's, which is disgusting. I don't think they have Buckley's in the U.S. Is that correct? I'm pretty sure it's a Canadian cough syrup. Look it up. Before, like a few years ago, they did this challenge. It was like the Buckley's challenge where you had to take Buckley's and keep a straight face. Like it tastes like you're drinking. I can't even describe it. It's just so intense. But anyways, it freaking works. So I've been surviving on Buckley's, been taking NyQuil at night, going to bed early. It's been up and down. And I've had this before. And there's nothing that anybody can do about it. Like, I've been to the doctor. I do have a puffer, which helps when I get, like, the coughing attacks. It, like, dilates your... Oh, my God, I forgot. My husband told me it dilates my, like, lungs or something like that. So that can give relief. The puffer, I think it's Ventolin. Buckley's, Hall's, drinking a hot peppermint tea. But yeah, it's sinus infections are mostly viral. They're not bacterial. So oftentimes people go to the doctor and demand antibiotics and they'll give them out because, like, I don't know why they do though, because I've done so much research on sinus infections because I get them chronically whenever Milo brings home a little cold. And like 80 or 90% of sinus infections are viral, meaning antibiotics. Like, what the hell? Anyways, antibiotics are not going to do anything for a viral infection. So what would happen is I would get a sinus infection, go ask for antibiotics. They would give them to me and then nothing would happen. Like, it wouldn't get better and I would just have a sinus infection for weeks. So I stopped going to ask for antibiotics because I know it's pointless and it's not good to just keep taking antibiotics all the time. So now I just let it pass and suffer and medicate myself with nasal sprays and Buckley's and cough medicine and all the things. So that's that on that. Let's get into the important topics though. I wanted to have a quick follow-up about labias, because if you didn't listen to a few solo episodes ago, or maybe it was the last one, I think it might have been the last one, I had a little bit of a rant about labias. So long story short, I feel like as you get older, your inner, like there's outer labias and there's inner labias, and I feel like the inner ones get longer, and it's really annoying when I'm walking around or even just like standing or sitting and they touch something. Like, I don't want my inner labias to touch anything. Okay. Except for the outer labias. Like, I want the outer ones to cover the inner ones up. So anyways, I've been noticing, because I've been mindful of my labias lately, I have been noticing that throughout the month, sometimes it's worse, like it varies. So I was thinking, and I meant to do research before this episode, but I've been sick, so bear with me. I'll do my research when I feel better. I was wondering, like, do our hormones that fluctuate over the course of our cycle affect the labias, right? Like, because I feel like it's different throughout the cycle. Like, sometimes it's really annoying and sometimes it's not. And then that leads me to another topic, which is the pubic hair topic. Because I put out a post on my stories saying, like, can we just work together as a group and make pubic hair something that's like fashionable? That's almost like desired, you know?
This episode is brought to you by Little Spoon. I'm just going to be honest here. As a busy parent, it's important to keep your life simple and convenient, especially at mealtimes. Nobody ever told me how stressful mealtimes can be. Little Spoon is one way to help you do just that. Little Spoon delivers fresh, healthy meals and snacks straight to your door that your kiddo will love at every eating stage they are in. Their goal is simple. It's to keep your kid healthy, but also to make it the easiest part of your day so that you can cut through all the drama of mealtime without compromise. Little Spoon's baby blends are fresh, organic baby food from single ingredients to multi-textured purees to take the stress out of starting solids. Their biteables are transition to table early finger food meals that are cut to size to promote easy self-feeding with healthy, balanced foods that are free of artificial junk. Little Spoon's plates are for toddlers and big kids. They taste amazing, and even the pickiest eaters will love them. Think hidden veggie mac and cheese, chicken nuggets, and adventurous eats like pot stickers, gnocchi, and more. Little Spoon also offers smoothies, lunchers, and snacks. Did I mention it gets delivered right to your door? It is so flexible, so easy, and everything stores right in the fridge and freezer. You can check out the menu and change up what you order every single time. The price is right, the quality is unmatched, your kids will love it. It's a huge win-win for your family. So simplify your kiddos' mealtime with 30% off your first order. Go to littlespoon.com/momroom and enter our code MOMROOM at checkout to get 30% off your first Little Spoon order. And it's time to give a shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode of The Mom Room and providing me with samples. Thank you, Claritin. Guys, I am starting to come to terms with the fact that I do suffer from allergies. I used to think, oh, I just have really bad sinuses. No, you have allergies. So let's talk a little bit about my symptoms. I wake up with not a stuffed nose, but like I have to blow my nose constantly. So it's like it's producing mucus and I have to keep blowing my nose. It's all itchy. The palate, like the roof of my mouth is itchy in the mornings and I'm trying to like scratch it with my tongue. It's really irritating. And the insides of my ears get itchy. It's one thing to have those symptoms when I'm just hanging out at home. But for example, yesterday I was at book club and my nose kept getting so tingly and itchy and I kept having to go to the bathroom to blow my nose. Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. It's designed for serious allergy sufferers. Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. So if you're ready to live life as if you don't have allergies, it's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter or ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies. This episode is brought to you by Magic Spoon. You guys know I have been very intentional with what we've been eating lately. I'm looking at protein, I'm looking at sugar content, and avoiding things like artificial ingredients or colorings. Milo used to always want pancakes or waffles in the mornings, and now he is getting into cereal, and I'm so excited because Magic Spoon is the perfect option. Their variety pack has 4 flavors, cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter. They have 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 to 5 grams of carbs per serving. They're made with wholesome ingredients, no artificial flavors or dyes, and I'm just so happy that he's getting a good amount of protein before he goes off to school. And it's a great snack for me and my husband too, because 13 to 14 grams of protein in the cereal, now you add a high protein milk, you're set. That is such a high protein snack or meal. I should also mention that it is gluten-free, grain-free, and soy-free. So go to magicspoon.com/momroom to grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code MOMROOM at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. So try a delicious bowl of Magic Spoon cereal today at magicspoon.com/momroom and use the code MOMROOM to save $5. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode. And it's really funny because I was talking to my friend Kathy about microblading eyebrows. And you know how everybody right now has like thick, like bushy eyebrows. And like a lot of people have gotten them microbladed, which is basically like tattooed on your face. And that is the trend. That's all the rave. But Caroline, who she's like a fashion photographer, my sister-in-law, so she's very like up on fashion trends and whatnot, was saying that the thin eyebrow is coming back. Like the thin ass little eyebrow. So I'm like, of course, because Kathy was saying she wanted to get her eyebrows done. And I was like, well, because it's freaking expensive to have them microbladed. And I was like, well,
you know, maybe you won't have to because thin eyebrows are coming back in. And she was like, you're kidding me. And I was like, no, they are. And of course, that's the way that it would go, right? Because now that everybody and their dog has their eyebrows tattooed on them, these big, thick, bushy eyebrows, now the thin ones are coming back, right? It's great to be a woman. So I'm hoping that the trends can reverse with regard to pubic hair. Hear me out. Everybody, like how many people have paid thousands of dollars to have laser hair removal on their bikini line? A lot of people. How much money have people spent on, what's it called? Brazilian waxing. A lot of people. Electrolysis. It's crazy. So if that has been the trend for so long, like removing pubic hair, which is so incredibly annoying. And I'll just say right now, I'll go through each like method of hair removal. Okay. Number one, let's just say you get a razor and you shave. No. I don't know who has skin that is tough enough in that area to be able to shave with a razor, but I do not. I've probably shaved with a razor like a handful of times just because I was in like an absolute pinch, but I cannot do that. Like severe razor burn, even if it's like a fresh blade, like my skin will not have it. And it's weird because I don't get that on my armpits or my legs at all, but like bikini line, no way. Like red, bumpy, like irritated. And honestly, that looks worse than just having hair. Like I would rather just have hair showing in my bathing suit than freaking razor bumps. Number two, waxing. I have gotten waxed multiple times. It's fine. Like, yeah, it's not the most comfortable, but it's super quick, very effective. But again, I find my skin for like the first day and a half about is all irritated. So if I was going on a trip or if I was doing that like last minute, I wouldn't be able to do it because I would be all irritated even after just waxing. Something that not a lot of people do is called sugaring, and it's similar to waxing, but it's like they take, it almost looks like a ball of like Play-Doh, and they smush it into your skin and like rip the hair out using that. And that is way, way, way softer, like less aggressive on your skin. So if you can find a place that does sugaring, I highly recommend that. I used to go to a place in Ottawa. It was downtown. I can't remember the name now, but they did sugaring. So yeah, I should look for a place in Toronto that does that because my skin is sensitive to waxing and I've gone to a million different places. It's not like I'm just going to someone who doesn't do it properly. Like I've been to a million places and my skin just does not like it. So yeah, sugaring is good, but not a lot of people do it. Not a lot of people probably know about it. What else? Okay. So what I do like all the time is just use, like you can buy even at just like the pharmacy, like Shoppers Drug Mart or Walgreens in the US, like an electric razor, let's say that a man would use on their beard so that it's trimming the hair, but it's not going against the skin. So you still have like the tiny, tiny, like little stubbles, but it's better for me than using a razor and like going right against the skin because then I get all insanely irritated. So that's what I do. I just use one of those electric razor things and that's it. And if I have little like hair stubbles, so be it. I am probably comparatively to other people not a hairy person. Like I have light hair, not down there, like you can see it, obviously it's like dark, but I probably don't have as much hair as most people would have. So I find that is fine for me, but it's not ideal. Like, for example, if somebody was going to be taking pictures of me in my bikini, like I would want to get a wax or like get sugared. But the point I'm trying to make is, like, why can't pubic hair just be a thing that we have that people just see? And I know people talk about that for armpits and leg hair, but like, for me, I don't care about shaving my armpits and my leg hair. Like, it doesn't harm my skin, you know? So I don't care. Pubic hair is a different story, and it's uncomfortable when you try and shave and then you get razor burns. So maybe there's people out there who absolutely hate shaving their legs and their armpits, and they feel the same way about that as I do about the bikini line. So, like, I feel ya, if that's how you feel about those things as well, then maybe we should just, like, how much money is the hair removal industry worth? Like, can you imagine? What the hell? Like, why? Oh my God. I don't know. I don't know what to say. And like, how do we make this change? Like, how do we make this movement happen? It's like, we need somebody who is a style icon. Like, we need like Hailey Bieber to be photographed in a bikini with pubic hair hanging out. And that's how we make a change. So Hailey, if you're listening to the Mom Room podcast, which maybe you are, like maybe you're thinking about becoming a mom soon and you're tuning in, you never know. Like, weirder things have happened, guys. Can you do that for us? Can you like not shave, not wax, not anything for several months and then wear a bikini and be photographed? Thank you. So anyways, that's my rant about that. And then it really irritates me, like, men don't really have to bother with their pubic hair if they don't want to. Like, I wouldn't ever do anything. I would maybe just like trim or like something like that, just for my own preference and comfort, like just like trim here and there, but like not much. Men don't have to. The only reason I do anything is for when I have to wear a bathing suit. So like, why are women's bathing suits such that they like go right up next to literally like they just cover our labias? It's literally just like, they should call it a labia suit. But men, oh, just throw on a pair of shorts. Like, where did this come from? Like, who decided what bathing suits were for women versus men? I don't like it. Okay, I could talk about that forever. I wanted to look up the evolution of pubic hair. Like, why do we even have it in the first place? I'm going to do a quick Google, 1 second. Well, here we have it. Weiss, I don't know who Weiss is. He's probably some historian or something. He speculates that one of the main reasons that human beings uniquely, meaning other species don't have this, I guess. One of the main reasons that human beings uniquely evolved a thick bush of wiry hair around their genital regions is its visual signaling of sexual maturation. It also likely serves as a primitive odor trap and aids in the wafting of human pheromones. Well, there you have it, folks. So that's interesting. And I was going to say, actually, I find it... Okay, so let's say pubic hair is a little bit long. I find if I totally remove it, it feels a little bit weird and it's like uncomfortable. And I think it's that whole like labia thing. It's like it's protecting my insides from touching my underwear and like rubbing. So anyways, that's my thoughts about it. I do find it odd when I remove it all for the first few days. Like, it takes some getting used to. I feel like a lot of people probably assume that pubic hair is there to protect like dirt and stuff from going inside. But that doesn't really make sense because that wouldn't be for men. Like that wouldn't be the case. So maybe this Weiss guy is onto something. Anyway, so that's that on that. The last thing I wanted to explain is the pad toot. This is a thing, and I don't know why I've never brought it up before, but I noticed it the other day, probably because I never wear pads, like ever. But the last couple periods I've had, I like, what's it called? Spot, like really, really faintly, like the last day or so. So I've just been like throwing on a pad instead of wearing a tampon. So that's where this all came from. Speaking of periods, by the way, I'm hoping to do in the fall, like September or October, an episode with an OBGYN all about periods. Like I'm so fascinated about periods and birth control and like what happens to your period after you have babies, spotting, like what's irregular, like period pain, ovulation pain. Very interested in doing an episode on that topic. But anyways, so I'm sitting there and I have a pad on the underwear and I toot, and like I had just like my husband was sitting beside me and I had to explain it to him. Like tooting with a pad on is so weird. And he was like, what are you talking about? And I was like, okay, let me explain. So when you toot with just underwear on, like the underwear is thin, it's made out of cotton, it's breathable. I think breathable is the key word. So like you toot, like, and it just goes through the underwear. Like, so you don't really feel anything. It's just like, okay. When you're having, like when you have a pad on and it's covering your bum and you're sitting down, it's like this is only relevant if, or like applicable if you're sitting down, because like your toot has nowhere to go. Okay. It is not going through a pad at all. So I was using my hands to try and explain it to my husband. Like, here's a toot with just your underwear. Like, whew, it goes right through your underwear. Here's a toot when you're wearing a pad on your underwear. And it's like the pad like bounces off your body because your toot is pushing it away and your toot can't go through the pad. Like, it's a really bizarre feeling and I don't like it. And sometimes it feels like the toot like goes like almost like back inside you. This is too much information, but people don't talk about this stuff. And I was like, oh my God, how do people wear pads regularly? So anyways, I put up a thing on my stories about pad toots and people were like losing their minds. But then I was like, what else should I talk about? And then someone made this comment and I wanted to go back to that story archive and see what people had said to talk about on this episode. But my freaking archives on my stories is not working. But I do remember one person put in about how if you have long hair and you take a shower, it like when you're rinsing your hair, the water, like your hair falls out of your head, obviously, and it gets stuck in your butt. And I was laughing so hard because this happens, I'm sure, to everybody, unless you have short hair and have always had short hair. But like at the end of your shower, I always have to like see if there's hairs in my butt, like from my head. Because think about how much hair you lose in the shower. And if it's just like sliding down your back, it just goes into your butt crack and sits there. So I'll end it on that because I'm losing my voice. I hope you guys enjoyed that. Stay tuned for more rebrand updates. Follow me on Instagram at Renee Rena with the little underscore thingamabob. And of course, at the Mom Room Podcast. Super excited to rebrand the podcast. I think it's going to be so exciting and do more in-person interviews and get more video content out. So yeah, guys, things are getting pretty serious over here. So I'm going to finish this peppermint tea and maybe have a glass of wine out on the balcony. And I will see you guys on Tuesday or on the social medias. So everybody, have a lovely evening. And I hope your children sleep tonight and don't wake up at 3 in the morning like Milo did yesterday. Okay, bye-bye now.